We've worked our way down through the book of Ephesians, continuing on. I want to deal with three verses tonight, verses 15, 16, and 17. But I come to you with a heavy burden on this text. I feel like I've heard it preached a lot in my life, but it's so real to me right now, looking around at this world, that how many people need Jesus. The thought of eternity without Jesus breaks my heart. But I'll go a step further. The thought of living this life without the joy that Jesus Christ brings just breaks my heart. I see so many people looking for a solution, so many people looking for happiness. Let me ask you, are you tired of looking for contentment and joy and peace in your job? You can swap them all you want, go on to the next one, but you'll never find contentment. You'll never find satisfaction in gold and silver. That's what my Bible says. You could have $1 million, that wouldn't be enough. You have $10 million, that wouldn't be enough. In fact, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God says, one soul, your soul is not worth everything this world has to offer. And they're looking for something. They're trying to find it. We talked about it in the men's prayer room tonight about the drug epidemic. There are so many people that are addicted to drugs. I want you to think tonight of how many people, close relatives you would have in your own family that are suffering from drug addiction. Because they're looking for something. They need something. And that something's a someone. His name's Jesus Christ. And they're trying to find it in something that will kill them when there's one thing they can find it in that died for them. It's our job to go and tell them about Jesus Christ. If no one ever tells them, how will they ever know? And in this text here in Ephesians chapter 5, look what the Bible says in verse 8. We've already dealt with this, but I want to lay some groundwork. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said there was a day and time, and I want you to think about it. How many of you, before you got saved, do you even remember what kind of a state you were in? Do you remember the things you do, the things you'd say? Oh, it breaks my heart. Like I said many times in the pulpit, there's men who get up and almost brag about the past they have, and I am absolutely ashamed of the sin in my life. And I take a look back at the darkness I used to be in, the things I thought was a good idea, and the desires that I had, and it was out of complete ignorance in my sin. Yes, sir. And there are so many people out there we need to have compassion on that everything they do, oh, it may be wrong, but it's simply out of ignorance and darkness in their sin. Have you ever thought maybe the people you look at who say they're saved, who continue to live in the drudges of this world, it's because honestly they're not saved and they just don't know any better? You used to be that way if you're saved tonight. Don't you get up here like you wasn't that. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing for us to remember just where God brought us from. And he said, you used to be. He didn't say in darkness. He said you were darkness. We went from being the problem to being a child of the King. That's our God. And he tells us that we should, for the fruit of the Spirit is in the goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He knows earlier, he said that but fornication, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you. He said there should be no sin, not one time, not a little bit, none of it's okay. We should hate our own sin and desire to cling to the Savior and get away from that sin. He says, you used to walk in that. You didn't know any better. In verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Be against them. Correct them. Call them out. Sin is wrong. The only thing I feel like I'm called to do is to preach the Word. And the Word is very clear. Sin is wrong. And time again, you find men in this Bible who were called of God to preach. You know what they preach? They preach sin is wrong. Everybody was fine with John the Baptist until he started talking about Herod's sin. And he said, you're shacking, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not your wife. You can't live with her. And he threw him in prison and got his head cut off because he dealt with sin. Hey, sin is just as wrong in 2023 as it was back then. Sin's a problem. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's saying, listen, wake up. Sin's a problem.
Yes.
Tonight, if we could just awake and look around and see that Jesus Christ could change the lives of those that we love that are suffering in sin. He changed your life, didn't he? He can change their life. Why is it that once we get saved, we get lifted up in some form of pride? Why is it that once we get saved, we get to a spot, it's not uncommon, it's very common actually, we get to a spot where we start to look at other people who aren't saved like they can't get saved. Don't you remember you used to be that? Well, if God can save me, He can save anybody. I want you to hear that again. If God can save this sinner right here, He can save absolutely anybody.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 15. Because of all this, because you've left darkness, you're now children of light, you're to walk as children of light, walk in love, verse number 2 tells us we're to be changed. See, because of this, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, tonight, if this takes 10 minutes or if it takes 30 minutes, I want three verses. I'm so burdened that Fellowship Baptist Church grabbed these three verses and understand what God says, hear what God's saying, but listen to this, then do it. The parable, he speaks of the wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. You know, the kids sing the song, on the rock, on the sand went flat. You know? All right. The wise man who built his house on the rock heard the word of the Lord and did it. That's what it says. He heard it, but then he did it. The foolish man heard it, but he didn't do it. How crazy would it be for us to know what this Bible says and not do it? Do you believe that the power of God in the gospel is what saves every sinner who's ever been born again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God uses us in earthen vessels to spread the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe the Bible says that? What are we doing with it? Wouldn't it be a shame to see all this and do nothing with it? In verse 15, he says, firstly, we need to be aware of what's going on. Circumspectly means cautiously. With watchfulness every way. With attention to guard against surprise or danger. Here's what he says. Look at verse 15 again. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. We need to be aware of what's going on, not just in the world. But let's start personally tonight. Are you even aware of your position and your relationship with Jesus Christ? When was the last time you took a step back and said, how is my relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, a few questions that may help tonight. If there's someone on planet Earth, if your spouse is gone, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, here's what happened at this church. How long has Papa been gone? 7 years? 7.5 years ago? 7.5 years ago, some people, me being one of them, had to come to a conclusion that a lot of my relationship with God was through a man. And that man then up went and left. That man's in heaven. I can't pray to Papaw. I can't pick up the phone and call him. I get Mamaw. That's not too bad. But that's not who I'm calling. I can't have a conversation with him. I can't sit down and say, Papaw, I feel like we should have our first missions conference. What do you think? Papaw, I had this situation in the church, you know, as pastor, and you did this 37 years. What do you think I should do? Hey, Papa, I was asked this biblical question. What do you think? I can't do that because he's a man and he's gone. Here's what I can do. Lord, there's a situation in the church and I need you to take care of it. Lord, I believe we need to take this step as a church. What should we do about it? And here's what I tell you. He heard me and He answered me. That's our God. When's the last time you took a step back and said, how is my relationship with God? If it was just me and Him, how would it be? You know your job can be a distraction between your relationship with God. You know your spouse can be. You say, surely not. What did Adam do? See, Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He picked her over God. That's wrong. Now, we are to love our men. We're to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You try to fulfill that. But that never means that we pick them over Him. If we'll get Him in His right spot, we'll love them correctly. Have you allowed your job? Have you allowed a person? Have you allowed a thing? Oh, if God came to you today and said, I want you to sell everything you own, could you do it? Isn't that what the rich young ruler did? He came to God and he says, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, keep these commandments. He said, I've done all these things in my youth. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he goes, oh no, I can't do that. We understand works was not salvation, but we know that Jesus knew his heart and knew that that young man loved his possessions more than he loved the Savior. If God came to you and said, I want you to sell everything, give it to the poor and follow me, would you say, absolutely? Are you down there on the docks with your fishing net and you're working? And he says, leave this life and follow me. And what did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed him. How's your relationship? It's easy to look across the room and say, oh, well, that person's doing this wrong. That person's doing this wrong. It's easy to look at some of the things going on right now, and I'm not going to give it time of name, but some of these so-called things, moves of God going on right now, you do a little bit of research, God ain't in it. Just a little bit. It's easy to look around and see the truth of other things going on around us, but the truth of the matter is, if we would get serious about our personal relationship and walk circumspectly, cautiously, say, how am I doing daily with God? Oh, we'd get so much more done than if we was on Facebook being the Holy Spirit deputy badge. Yep. That's not our job. That's His job. And when was the last time you took a step around and said, how is my personal relationship with God? Here's a way to look at it. Have I allowed these sins to be named once among me? Do you know that God puts fornication and covetousness in the same verse? Fornication is no different to God than looking over at your neighbor going, boy, man, if I worked on Saturday instead of going soul winning, I could have that house. You know, if I put that one more day, if I went to that job, I'd have this retirement. If I went to that job, I'd have these benefits. If I went to that job, I'd have this pay. All these things. I could have all these things. I wouldn't do exactly what the Bible wants, but sure, I'd be close. We could get real with ourselves tonight and say, how's my relationship with God? Are we walking circumspectly? Am I cautious to what's going around me? Now, as a Christian, it's not just your walk. You need to be careful about the things going on around you. Because the place that you're in can suck you into sin that you never wanted to be in the middle of. If you always find yourself in a place with people using horrible language, partaking of things they should not, it won't be long till next thing you know you go, well, maybe it's not that bad. You need to be aware of your surroundings and circumspectly of what's going on around you. It's a great thing whenever you can walk into a church tonight. And you know what happened tonight? When we started talking about things we love about our church, did you see the Spirit pick up just a little bit? Did you feel that? When you start getting thankful for what's around you, He told us to enter His courts with thanksgiving. Oh, I'm thankful for my church because of this. I'm thankful for what God's done. If you look at Fellowship Baptist Church and you think a man can do what's been going on here the last couple of years, you're crazy. God is in the middle of every single bit of this. A man can't save nobody, Dustin, you saved. That was God. Amen. No man can do that. God's right in the center of it. He's in control. He's the one driving this thing. And we need to walk around circumspectly and say, God's doing this. Should I walk away? God's doing this, should I stay in the middle of it? Maybe God is not in that. Maybe I should get away from that. Being aware of the surroundings around us, and it will help us to stay out of sin. But something else about that walking circumspectly is it's seeing the state of the people around you. When's the last time you looked at somebody who was a drug addict? And was your original thought of, I want to get away from them? If you go to Asheville right now, you're going to see a lot of homeless people. A lot of them. I was talking to my boss today. We had to run by the office there, and he told me, he said, be careful. He said, there's a guy sleeping in the parking lot. He said, I don't know if you got your kids with you. It's a shame you have to feel that way, but it is the truth. But you know what? No doubt, most likely, that man was trying to find happiness in something. He was trying to find contentment in something. And that something was not the someone it needed to be. And it's ravaging his life, taking his lifestyle, and before it's over with, no doubt it may actually take his physical life. Do you know what he needs? Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He needs to know there's a solution to that problem. He needs to know that there's an answer for the equation he's dealing with. And if we walk around and we look and we say, they need Jesus. And they need Jesus. And you'll start seeing what God sees, which is a lost and dying world that He came to save. Now look what He says. Go to John chapter 4. Look what He says to His disciples. John chapter 4, we know this, the verse where He says He must needs go through Samaria. He finds the woman at the well. He begins to preach to her right there. And just a few sentences in, He goes from asking for a drink of water to telling her all about Jesus Christ. Now that right there is a soul winner. Can you imagine going from give me a drink of water to be born again in two sentences? That's God. And a wonderful thing starts to happen. He tells her all the things she's ever done. She goes into town. Her personal witness gets other people to come out, and they believe because of what she said. But before it's over with, it says they believe because of what He said. And here come the disciples. I can imagine some of them now saying, surely God can't move. I wasn't there. What's going on here? We weren't in the right church. We didn't have the hymn books. How could God move without the red-back hymnal? And there's a revival going on in the wilderness, and they are just dumbfounded. And they've been in town looking for something to eat, and they offer it to God and say, you know, surely he must need something to eat. You know, maybe God's confused at the moment. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Somebody says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He says, hey, walk circumspectly. Lift up your eyes and look around. You don't have to go to Japan to see people who need to be saved. There are people who need to be saved in Japan. Amen. And it's our job to reach them, as impossible as that seems. But all you got to do is walk out that door and talk to a few people, and you'll find out real quick, the fields are white with harvest right here. Now, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I'm so thankful to be in a part of the world where the gospel's been preached for a long period of time. Now, let me be clear tonight. Walk circumspectly. This ain't the Bible Belt no more. It's the beer capital. Wake up. Circumspectly, look around. But the truth is, there's been the gospel been being preached here for a long time. And there are people right now that are ready for harvest because somebody already planted. But there's others that the seed has not been sown yet, and it needs to be sown on that ground. It's not our job to bring forth the fruit. It's our job to sow that seed. And he says, look, the fields, they're ready right now. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware that it's time. It's not 4 months from now. It's not when you get a few things worked out. It's today it's ready. He says, look, you can see it. And if you're walking circumspectly, if you're walking cautiously, looking around, yes, it will keep you from sin, But it also will help you see the surroundings around you. Now, with that in mind, go back to Ephesians 5, verse number 16. This verse right here is a verse that will honestly change your life. It has changed mine. Look what it says. Ephesians 5, 16. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. To redeem something, redeeming means gaining deliverance from captivity, capture, bondage, sin, distress, or liability to suffer by the payment of an equivalent. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. Every person in this building has 24 hours tomorrow. That does not change. We all have different responsibilities to get done tomorrow. Can we all agree on that? We don't all work the same job. We don't all work the same place. We don't all have the same families. We don't all have the same things on our schedule tomorrow. But we do all have the same amount of time. And if we're walking circumspectly and aware of what's going on around us, maybe it's time that we redeem the time back. Hey, are we using the time profitably? Are we the person that looks at what's going on around us? And number one there in verse 15. We need to be aware. But right here in verse 16, we need to be efficient. We only have so much time. And there's a lot of people that need to know about Jesus. We only have so much time and there's a lot of things that need to be done. And if we're redeeming the time, maybe we take a step back and say, maybe if God doesn't have to spend all His time working on me, He can spend some of His time working through me. When I have a little bit of free time, maybe this hour that I have right here, I can use it to grow closer to God rather than to move up a level on my video game. I can use this time to grow closer to God rather than trying to earn 20 more dollars I'm going to blow that I don't need. There's all these things in our mind that have been just ingrained in us and we've just fell for them, hook, line, and sinker. We're all the way in and they're just not biblical. God says the days are evil. We are running out of time. I want to be clear about something. You may be sitting here going, God's not coming back tomorrow. And that's right. But can I be honest tonight? There's some people in this room that you have less years to live left than you've already lived. If you're over 50, the odds are you're over halfway there. And with the meals that we have here, I'm 100% sure you're over halfway there. What are you going to do with that time? What are you going to do with time? See, time management is not a real thing. We all have 24 hours. It's personal management. What are you going to do with that time? Now, you'll never use it efficiently until you're aware of what's going on around you and aware of your personal standing. You must be walking circumspectly. How's my relationship with God? Am I saved? Am I on my way to heaven? Because Lord knows I'm not going to be out winning a whole bunch of people until I know I'm going. Am I on my way? Am I in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been a moment in time I was birthed in the family of God? If the answer is that, I say, amen. Now, what are you doing with it? He tells us He puts that salvation in us and He tells us to work it out. And tell us to redeem the time. Use it efficiently. Make good use of it. Why? The days are evil and people need Jesus. The solution to the drug epidemic is Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah. I believe that. Verse number 17. Wherefore, here's some good advice. And it comes from God on high. Be ye not unwise. Now what I see here is that we are without excuse to be ignorant. I know we could take a step back and I doubt anybody in this room would want to come up here and stand and say, let me show you how much of a theologian I truly am. Who would like to get up here and tell us 20 things about eschatology? Those are Bible college words they made up to confuse people and sound smart so they could have a PhD in Bible. But that means end times. Wouldn't it be embarrassing tonight if I walked up here and I said, Jessica, I want you to get up tonight and I want you to tell us in order what happens through the tribulation. Go. And don't pick on Jessica, because I can do that to Patrick, I can do that to Dalton, I can do that to Dustin. We're all going to be like, tag. And we're going to tag all the way around the room, then go eat. We're not theologians. I don't even really know what that is. Here's what I do know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I don't need to know the entire happenstance of the tribulation period, and I don't need to be a doctorate in eschatology. And here's what I do know. Jesus Christ loves you. So what are you doing with what you do know? And here's what He tells us. Wherefore, be not unwise. He said, redeem the time. Get your Bible. Listen to preaching. Read books about the Bible. Read the Bible. Get in church. Grow. Spend time around other Christians. Yearn from the Word of God. And then do something with it. Redeem that time. Why? The days are evil. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, don't be unwise. He said, but have some understanding about you. And when we think about the will of God, sometimes we make this thing super spooky and kind of charismatic. And that's not okay. The Bible has some clear direction of how to be in the perfect will of God. Now, I understand that there are different callings on people's lives. But every person in this room is called to be a witness if you're born again. That's all of us. And God wants to use that. He said, don't be unwise. Don't be like the fool. Hey, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what that would mean is when I was growing up and I was at home and Dad told me, get this done before I got home. I think the worst thing I could have heard is his truck coming down the driveway and it wouldn't have been done. Or in the morning, get up. And I hear his footsteps coming down that hallway. And here I am sitting on the side of the bed, absolutely. I'm awake, promise. Wait. I wasn't afraid that he was going to kill me. Although there was a time there I thought maybe, but the fear I had was a respectful fear. I didn't want to displease him. I didn't want to get the punishment that was coming. Because I knew it was coming. No, my life wasn't going to be gone, but there was going to be a consequence for the decision I make. Hey, Mom and Dad, you need to train your children when they're young. There's consequences for decisions. Because that's true, real life. But the fear I had was a respectful fear. And this fear is a fear of God will do what God said. Do you believe the Word of God? He's going to do what He said. And there's different verses. He said, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. Do you understand right now that if you choose to live in sin all the days of your life, hey, Mom and Dad, you say, I'm saved, that's great, it's a wonderful thing. But if you say, you know, I'm done with church, I ain't going down that road, I'm gonna do what I want to do, we want our kids to do travel ball and all these other things, and we're getting out of church, you're going to lose your kids. Because the Bible tells us to train them up when they're young. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You're going to lose that opportunity. Why? Because God will do what God said He'll do. His Word is always right. And we shouldn't be unwise to knowing that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear that what God said He'll do, He will do it. He keeps His Word. He has never made a promise He didn't keep.
Yes, sir.
Now, Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Our whole job is to fear God, fear the Lord with beginning wisdom, and keep His commandments. Our understanding comes from the Word of God. We have a fear that we do not want to let Him down. We have a fear that we do not want to put down or do something that would be displeasing unto Him. We'd like to please God, and it's impossible to please Him without faith. But we want to please God, and we have that fear, but we get the understanding by spending time in the commandments in the Word of God. Let's end in Romans chapter number 12. Verse 15, we got to be walk circumspectly. We need to be aware. Verse 16, we have to redeem the time. We need to be efficient. And then verse 17, he tells us to be not unwise. But understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to be educated. It's a good thing to know what the Word of God says. But in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the will of God. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You got to submit to God if you want to be in the will of God. Not surrender. The biblical word would be submit. Say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. We've got to submit, but look what it says next, holy. We've got to be separated. If you want to be in the will of God, you've got to be submitted to God, but you've also got to be separated from this world. Right. You don't want the things the world has to offer. You want what the Word commands that we do. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. It's not a difficult thing to be able to say, I want what God wants for me because God wants what's best for me. Remember, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, he's the man that's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's not a wild tree. It's a tree that was planted. God put them where they were supposed to be. Right. And they're prosperous and they bring forth fruit in its due time. God's the one that does that. And we want to be where God wants us to be, submitted in His will. And we don't want the sin of this world because it shouldn't be named one time. We want to be holy, separated. This is the will of God. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know how you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must first be born again. Secondly, you must hate sin. And find yourself following the roadmap that God put out before you. And be not unwise, but understanding. Yes. You'll find understanding right here. We've got to understand what the will of the Lord is. The only way you're going to know is if you listen. Can you imagine I'll pick on my dad again. When I was growing up. If he started giving me instructions to do something, and I just walked off, might got hit in the back of the head with something. Do you think I could have accomplished the goal that he wanted me to do if I never listened to what he actually wanted me to do? Why is it we've convinced ourselves in our relationship with our Heavenly Father is that we don't have to listen to the instructions? We don't have to hear what he says. Oh, I can be in the perfect will of God. If you don't read your Bible, you're not in the perfect will of God. I want you to hear me say it again. If you're not spending ample time in the Word of God, you're not in the will of God. If you're not doing what it says, you're not in the will of God. You can know it from cover to cover and make excuses all day long, but if you're contrary to this, you're not in the will of God. And we must hear the instructions. Why? Because I fear Him. It's a respectful fear, but I absolutely fear right now that if I do not raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I can lose them. Oh, it would be a horrible thing one day to lose my kids. That's not the testimony I want. I don't want the testimony of some preachers where they win the whole world and lose their own children. That is not my desire. I want to listen to what this Word says. I want to do every single thing I can to not lose them. But I'll never know what it says if I'm not spending time in it. And I pray tonight, would you touch our hearts? Would you take this Word? Would you use it for your glory?